welcome to the Pig and Whistle Tales from Azeroth. As always, here at the Pig and Whistle within Stormwind, I go through a variety of subjects with regards to World of Warcraft. I grab a bottle or a pint, sit back and enjoy it. Today, we're going to be going over Wrath of the Lich King and why it is, in my opinion, the best expansion and why we have to look forward to it when it comes round for Wrath of the Lich King Classic, ultimately. So, we will start off with the weekly news as always. We have Valinor, Morgeth and Antros as our world bosses for this week. Morgeth is the world boss that is fated, so head on into the moor and get yourself some new gear from Morgeth that is at a higher item level for this current season. It is very good, very worth it, and definitely something you should do this week. The bonus event for this week is Shadowlands Dungeon Bonus Event. This just means that you get more loot from the last boss of the dungeon or throughout the dungeon itself. Nothing too crazy, but very simple. And if you're looking to gear alt, a lot easier to do so this week. The mythic affixes for this week are Sanguine, Grievous, Fortified and Shrouded. Sanguine, obviously, if you are a tank, move the mobs out of the Sanguine. And do not stand in the Sanguine yourself, it does hurt quite a lot. Grievous, whenever you're below 90%, you get a dot that keeps ticking and ramping up. So make sure you help top yourself above 90%, help the healer out, or just make sure you pop a defensive so that the healer can get you above that 90% threshold for him. Fortified, the mobs in the dungeon, the non-boss enemies, are a bit tankier. So make sure you bring something for that rather than, you know, going to a single target specialization for this week because obviously the bosses are less tanky. And we have the Season 4 affix, which is Shrouded. This is where the Nathrazim, the Dreadlords, are disguised as some of the mobs in the dungeon. Killing these Dreadlords will give you a stacking buff, and this can go up to quite high numbers, I will say that. The brew for this week is Cooking Impossible. This one's very simple. You bring 15 ingredients, I'm pretty sure it's 15, to your faction's pot, your cooking pot. First to do that wins. Very simple. You can steal the other's ingredients by killing the opposing faction. And someone who is killing or carrying an ingredient, you kill them and you basically nick it off of them. Very simple. And the spell that we're going to be going over this week and looking at the history of is Thorns. It's a very simple spell. It is from Druid once again. But Thorns has had two sort of iterations in its lifetime. It had the buff and then it's got the, you know, PvP use. So let's start with it. The very first patch came back in 2004, June 2004. This is pre-release World of Warcraft. This is in the testing phase. The mana cost and damage has been increased. So this just increases the mana cost of the buff and how much damage it did, which is very strange because I think at max rank it did like 10 damage. It wasn't necessarily crazy. And another buff came in the testing, which was 2 months later. The mana cost reduced for early ranks, raised for later ranks. Makes sense, kind of keeps in that sort of pattern. The very first change that Thorns had was in patch 3.1. This is 5 years after the test, like, period, which is insane. So 2009 is when it got its first change. This spell will now properly use the Druid spell power to determine its scaling instead of the target spell power, which makes no sense because if you're putting Thorns on a warrior, obviously they're not going to have spell power. So it makes sense that it is based off of the Druid's spell power. They hotfix this a month later. The bonus damage from spell power on the Druid ability Thorns has been reduced by half. So clearly it was hitting too hard, but I don't think there was ever an iteration of Thorns hitting too hard in, say, TBC, Wrath, or anything like that. The next change was in Cataclysm a year after. The duration reduced from 10 minutes to 20 seconds. and its damage is significantly increased. A month later, the beginner tooltip has been revised to no longer imply the spell could be kept up all the time. In addition, Thorn's damage has been reduced by 60%. 60%, that's over half. This 20-second Thorns must have been slapping them for some reason, and no reason at all. So, I would have liked that iteration of Thorns, to be honest. And then, a couple years later, in Mr. Pandaria, it was removed. It was gone. 5.0, it was removed. Nothing to be said about that. In Legion, though, 4 years later, 7.0, they re-added Thorns as an honor talent. It now lasts for 15 seconds instead of 20 seconds. A few months later, it now deals 5% of the attacker's total health in nature damage. I like the percentage-based. It's a lot better, in my opinion. A few months later again, this is all in Legion, now available to Feral and Restoration. It was Restoration only. And they hotfix this a couple weeks later. Thorns now has a 1 second cooldown between procs. Now, if you've got a rogue stabbing you about 5 times in 1 second, they're taking 25% of their total HP, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. I like that idea. I like that iteration so much more. So a couple years go by and Battle for Azeroth props up. It is now a level 40 PvP talent. It was level 37 for Feral and rank 19 for Restoration Honor Talents. It is now available to balance Feral and Resto. Makes no sense why it wasn't balanced in the first place, because, well, they're still a druid, so it makes sense that, you know, Thorns would just be sort of a baseline ability, but oh well. They hotfixed this a few months later. It resolved an issue that caused Thorns to deal damage when the target is struck by unintended spells such as Eye for an Eye, Frost Fever, or...
Let's take a quick break.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
That word does not sit right with me. Very, very... It doesn't work for me. Very plague. It's a Death Knight spell. I'm going to say plague. It's just not working. It's not saying... I can't. Month later, the mana cost has been increased by 50%. It's not too bad if you're a balanced druid, but Restoration kind of annoying, and Feral is kind of meh. And then in Shadowlands, the level requirement has changed to 35. It was level 40, and they did a small hot fix a couple months later. They fixed an issue where Thorns was not dealing damage to attackers after being melee attacked. That is a bit of a problem, considering the whole point of it is to deal damage when you're attacked. So, you know, it's a good thing that they resolved that relatively quickly. But that is Thorns in a nutshell. I do like the iteration of it being a buff, because it gives you more of a buffer if people are trying to dispel you or spell steal something. It gives you more of a chance to resist that, and they have to get through another buff in order to get to the one that they actually want, etc. But evil iteration of Thorns is good. I just wish that Thorns did more damage. It seems like in PvP, if you've got two melee running you down, they don't care about Thorns, and it seems like it does negligent damage, to be honest. But when you check the logs, it's suddenly like, it's your top damage and ability, and it's like, oh, well, it doesn't feel like it anyway. It doesn't feel like a fun ability to press sometimes. And that's, you know, not what you want in an MMO where you've got about 200 spells at your disposal. But, you know, whatever. So, let's get on to the bulk of the podcast this week. Why is Wrath the best expansion? This, I do want to make a disclaimer. This is very much my own opinion. I do class other expansions up there, but Wrath for me overall is the best expansion. Legion is very good. I like the content in Warlords of Draenor. There just wasn't enough of it. Garrisons could have been tweaked and stuff like that. Mists of Pandaria, I think, is a very criminally underrated expansion. I'm not sure why. People just didn't like the idea of pandas, I guess, or something like that. But the zones were amazing. There was some pretty good content, raids. PvP was very good. Warriors were obviously just crazy and stuff like that. But what's not crazy during an expansion, you know? Rogue Mage is very crazy right now. It, you know, you'll never get balancing perfect in a MMO. But Wrath of the Lich King, the second expansion to be released for World of Warcraft back in 2008, I believe. Was it 2008? Yeah, I believe it was. God, that's dating me. I say it every time. But this was obviously my first expansion. I didn't necessarily know what I was doing. So it might be a bit of a nostalgic thing as to why I think Wrath is the best expansion. I sort of picked up the game early Wrath, late Burning Crusade, but I sort of understood the game more towards the end of Wrath of the Lich King when Ice Crown Citadel was released. Around that sort of time, I was doing Halls of Reflection, Pit of Sauron. I was doing this at around the age of like 10. So, you know, I was clearly top DPS and knew everything about the game. But this might be why I'm so excited for Wrath Classic, because it is a massive nostalgia trip. This is what a lot of people felt when World of Warcraft Classic was re-released. You know, it's that nostalgic feel. And for me, like, World of Warcraft Classic was great. TBC was great as well. But Wrath of the Lich King is where it is at for me. That's when it will hit, you know, home run. It'll be absolutely amazing. And that's where the nostalgic will just slap me in the face right there and then. So, Wrath of the Lich King brought out Death Knights, the first hero class. Death Knights were obviously busted on their release, but they had a unique introduction. They started at level 55, and they had their own zone to level up in before they hit Outland level 58. It was to do with doing the Lich King's bidding and how you broke free and then how you joined the Horde and Alliance and stuff like that. Even small things like running through the city and the guards and stuff throwing apples at you, spitting on you as you go by. You know, it's that sort of thing that actually makes the world feel alive, and it makes it feel really unique and very engaging. So Death Knights, absolute plus. They were a great addition to the game. Not many people thought so as the very first patch, as they were just unkillable in PvP, and they mostly are in like patch 3.3, the one that we will be sort of releasing on the very last patch of Wrath of the Lich King. They are still very tanky, and they are still one of the best classes very much in Wrath of the Lich King at that time. Balancing. Now, in an MMO, you don't think that balancing is going to be the best thing in the world. It isn't. I will say that right now, but balancing in Wrath of the Lich King was at its peak, in my honest opinion. Now, what I mean by this is it will never be flawless, it will never be perfect, but it was at its peak in terms of you had counters to your class, but you could still beat that class if you were skilled enough. That's the thing. So, essentially, a rogue counters, what is a rogue counter? What kind of everything? But a rogue counters, say, a druid, we'll say that. A druid, a very good druid, will have the knowledge to be in bear form before the kidney shot comes out, to be able to fairy fire, to be able to, like, bash them, clone them, get a heal off. You know, you're playing the longevity sort of game, rather than the quick burst, the kidney shot into 80% of your health and then finishing you off with like a cold blood eviscerate, something like that. So there is a lot of balancing that is in the game where they might have a 70% chance to beat you and you might have a 30. But if you're skilled enough, it can make it a 50-50. Whereas, you know, it's the other way around for your class. You might say beat a mage very easily. Feral druids absolutely shit on mages. But a mage can still beat a feral druid if they're well geared enough and well skilled enough and adapt very quickly to the situations that they might be in. So balancing is, again, a very tough one to get right, but it does actually feel very good in Wrath of the Lich King. And what's also very good about the balancing is it's not taking away any sort of your class identity. And I think that's what a lot of people like, their class identity. So druids obviously have, you know, Starfall for boomkins, Berserk for ferals, and you get your wild growth. Pretty sure it's your wild growth or restoration. You know, that's great. Your rogues get Shadow Step, Killing Spree, and I'm pretty sure there was another one, but I can't remember the assassination one. I'm not going to lie. I'm really sorry, assassination. But, you know, mages get Deep Freeze. They get Living Bomb. They get Arcane Barrage. They all have their own unique feel to them and their own class identity. And you know what you're going up against. You can feel the different types of mages that you're going up against. You're going against a Pompyro Mage, presence of mind, Pyroblast in the face, just try and one-shot you. You're going up against a Deep Frost Mage, so Deep Freeze, Ice Barrier, two blocks. You're going up against a Fire Mage with Dragon's Breath, Living Bomb. You know, there's many different variations, and you can get a lot of class identity out of them, and you see that in every single situation, whether it's PvE, PvP. And you have to adapt in PvP, certainly, to what kind of mage you're facing. If it's a full frost mage, you don't want to be sitting in, like, roots and stuff, because he's just going to crit you and die. And you're just going to die to ice lances. You don't want to be anywhere near him when he presses combust and gets you in a sheep and starts hard casting pyroblast, you know, if he's a fire mage. If he's got Pompyro, you want to always be cautious of when his presence of mind cooldown is coming off cooldown. I said cooldown way too much there. You're keeping track of his arcane power and stuff like that as well. So that class identity is so pivotal in World of Warcraft, and especially Wrath, because you want something for every occasion. You want a druid to AoE now in PvE situations, because Starfall is a stupidly good AoE. You know, Rhett's actually get something. They get their exorcism where you can use it on any target rather than just undead. You can use Divine Storm now that heals you for 25% of the damage. You've got so much utility in all of the classes in Wrath of the Lich King that it makes it absolutely unique and different to every single other expansion, because after that, Cataclysm started pruning it a bit and making it more baseline, which I think isn't the greatest way to go, sadly enough. So, moving on, we are looking at raids. Raids in Wrath are very, very good. Now, a couple spring to mind, especially. Naxxramas, most people have done when they did it back in Classic. It's just a small redesign, not a redesign, but like a small jig about with the item names. A couple of pieces of gear have been added and stuff like that. But ultimately, it's the same instance. But alongside that, you have raids such as Alderman. No, not Alderman. Alderman is the dungeon. Alduar, sorry. That's the raid. Alduar, the giant titanic prison, where it holds an old god, and you have to go and clear and fight these titan constructs and keepers to break them free of sort of a mind control, and then you go and deal with the big threat that is in their prison cell and has broken free. So that is just an epic sort of raid, and it is great fun. Cannot recommend it. And then there's the big one, Ice Crown Citadel. You're making your way up this massive castle, this massive citadel, and, you know, you're clearing each of his lieutenants almost. You've got Putricide and the Abomination Wing. You've got his pet dragon, Sindragosa, and you have to go and heal a green dragon to make sure they're not corrupted and stuff and don't fall to, you know, being undeath and all of that. And then the big bad at the very end at the top of the Citadel, where it overlooks everything and you can literally get flung off of the edge as a final sort of boss fight. Lich King, amazing fight. It's going to be great. Cannot wait for that fight at all. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Dungeons. So dungeons in Wrath are very good. I do have to say that you got Upgard Keep and Nexus are the primary sort of starting dungeons. Then you go into Azul Narub, and Kahet, the Old Kingdom, stuff like that. I can't remember much of the others. I'm not going to lie. I can't remember sort of the middle section of dungeons. I know you've got like Zuldrak, I'm pretty sure, is around that sort of 75, 76 mark. You probably have other things. But the dungeons that really do get me are the Ice Crown ones. They are... I don't think there's been a dungeon that beats them, in my opinion, especially Halls of Reflection. You are running away from the main man himself, from the end boss of the expansion. Well, technically not the end boss, because Ruby Sanctum came out after Icecrown Citadel, and there was just this random dragon boss that we had to kill. But, you know, that kind of led into Dragon, or Catus, sorry, Blism. But yeah, you're literally running away from the big bad of the expansion, the Lich King, and it's something that I don't think has happened since. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that I'm not wrong. So it's one of them things. It's very tough. On terms of the scale and difficulty, it is a very, very tough dungeon. All three of these were. Pit of Sauron, Forge of Souls, and Halls of Reflection were very tough dungeons in their own right, and they all offered unique challenges and ways to deal with things, which makes it absolutely amazing. Not to mention, you know, you've got something different with the Trial of the Champion, where the first boss, you are literally on a horse and you're jousting. That is the first boss. The third or something, second or third boss, I'm pretty sure you fight Horde, so it's sort of a PvP type of boss, which a lot of the PvEers didn't enjoy, but it makes it for a very easy fight, in my opinion, because you just CC one and kill the other healer, and, you know, it's very simple when you break it down. But the dungeons in Wrath of the Lich King are so perfect, and they are very, very good. I'd recommend first day getting a group together with some guildies, heading on in and doing a couple runs of Nexus, or I'm definitely doing Upgard Keep. I actually enjoy Upgard Keep. I usually didn't in the past, but I'm kind of getting more and more into it more than anything. Because it's kind of like Icecrown Citadel in a way. You're making your way up this giant keep, this castle, and killing the big bad at the end, you know, at the top. It's very fun and enjoyable. The PvP is a very much a big selling point for me. It's not too bursty, it's not too slow. It's just right where you can use your cooldowns and defensives perfectly, and it can give you another life, essentially. But at the same time, you can still die through nothing. Like, if you have no defensives, you can still die, and you can be punished for making the wrong move. There's not really much I want to say more about PvP, except that it is, you can be punished if you put a step wrong, and skill is very much a main component of Wrath of the Lich King Classic. And Wrath of the Lich King Classic PvP, I should say. It's going to be great fun. It's going to be a lot of PvP sessions for me come Wrath of the Lich King. The questing and the zones are the last thing I want to talk about in Wrath of the Lich King. So the zones are absolutely phenomenal. You've got a wide variety from Boreen Tundra, which is sort of a marshland when you get out of it. You've got Howling Fjord, which is absolutely incredible. You have Dragonblight. It's just a wasteland of, you know, dragon corpses, snow, etc. Grizzly Hills. Obviously, people know Grizzly Hills. Just if you want something to listen to chill in terms of music, look up Grizzly Hills music. It is so relaxing. It is unreal. It's absolutely amazing. Just the scenery as well, especially from an Alliance perspective. The questing hub where you quest, it literally is just overlooking a cliff, and the scenery and the view that you get from there is absolutely exquisite and it's amazing. And then you get sort of the higher up you get, the higher levels, you're getting into the more darker places. So Zuldrak, it's very much dark purpley type thing. Storm Peaks is very snowy, obviously. And then it's Ice Crown, you know, dark blue, sort of really hostile colours almost. And it sort of gives you the sense of danger, and it's like, okay, this is a real scary place to be. And you, as you're questing through Ice Crown, you're progressing. You see this progression. So you actively see yourself moving up through the zone, around the zone. It's sort of like a horseshoe. You start in the bottom right and you work your way up to the top and then go back down the other side of the horseshoe on the left-hand side. And you can see this progress because as you unlock different questing hubs, you're literally taking it over. You're taking ground from the Lich King and his forces, which is the very first time they did this in game, and it's absolutely amazing, and I wish they did more of this. I know it caused a few problems with like summoning people because you had to be on the same sort of phase, as it were, in that questing zone, but honestly, it's absolutely amazing and wouldn't trade it for anything. It is very unique. But that is all for this week. Thank you all very much for tuning in as always. Be sure to check out all of the social medias down below. Check out the Twitch, YouTube, absolutely everything. And please, if you wouldn't mind, recommend this to friend, family, whoever you think might be interested in WoW. Get them listening. It will really help out the channel and it will help me out so much. And I would thank you for it. So once again, go Valor, friends. Goodbye all.